Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Voices for Change 2.0, the only podcast that focuses on mental health while mixing in movies, music, books, sports, and pop culture. Here are your hosts, Rebecca and Joe Lombardo.
Hey, good morning to you all. We hope you are doing very well today. We are hanging in there.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us on this wonderful April Saturday morning in the middle of spring. And God help you all because it's tax day.
Wait, isn't it the 18th now?
Well, yeah, you know what? Because it's on a Saturday. So, yeah, it would be Monday or Tuesday.
It'd have to be the 18th.
So. All right. Sorry for the heart attacks. Sorry about that.
And for those of you that celebrate, we do wish you a happy Easter.
Yes, absolutely. Happy Easter. Happy Passover to all of our Jewish friends. And, hope it's a great holiday season for everybody involved.
Absolutely. So today we are talking to someone that I admire a great deal for her strength and her bravery. I first became aware of her when I was watching the last season of a TV show called 90 Day Fiancé on the TLC network. She seemed to be a truly genuine person, and I respect that about her. During the course of filming the show, we saw her triumphs and her struggles, and I'm really happy to have her here today. So please welcome Lauren Brovarnik.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Hey, Lauren, how you doing? Thank you so much for joining us this morning, and welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure. If you don't have any questions for us, we're going to go ahead and jump right in.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Sweet.
For any listeners that aren't familiar with you or the show, can you discuss a little bit how you met your now husband and the process you followed to have to marry him?
Sure. Do I have a time limit on this? Because I can go on forever about it.
Please. By all means, talk your head off.
So my husband, my now husband and I, we met on a trip called Birthright. It's a free 10-day trip to Israel for Jewish people. And I was the staff leader on a trip, and he was the medic. And, you know, I'm a very spiritual person, and, you know, I believe in things happen and don't for a reason. And originally I was not scheduled to be on his trip. And like a week before, they called me and they were like, you need to pack your stuff. You're going in 5 days. And just so happens that's when I went. And, you know, I get off the airplane. I hate flying. I was like, I had a little cocktail, and there he was, just got off the plane, standing there. And I was like, whoa, you are hot. Definitely wasn't love at first sight. But I was like, are you our medic?
At first sight.
Exactly. Because, you know, when people go on Birthright, they're like, oh, I'm going to hook up with a soldier, or like an Israeli, you know, win on Birthright, whatever. And I was like, are you our medic? And he just stood there and was like, yeah. And I was like, seriously? I was so excited. I was so happy. And he was like thinking, oh, my God, another crazy American girl. Here we go. And I was like, you're hot. This is going to be a great trip. And over the course of 10 days, you know, we really got to know each other. And I ended up extending my stay in Israel to spend more time with him. And so, you know, then I went back and he applied for a travel visa to come visit me here in the States, and he got denied. I went back out there like 2 months later. It's crazy how it works. But, you know, once you apply, if it doesn't work out, you have to wait 6 months. So in that 6 month period, I went 2 or 3 times, and he applied again for a travel visa and got denied. So at that point we were like, okay, what are our options? Like, or do we go our own ways? And that quickly went out the window, and it was either I go there or he comes here on a K-1 visa. So we talked about it for a really long time, and that's when we decided to file for a K-1 fiancé visa. and we put together all the paperwork and sent it out and saw him. He put a ring on it. And then during that time, we met in Canada so he could meet my parents, which I know people saw on the first season of 90 Day Fiancé. And that really was the first time that he had met my parents. And after that, that's when he went on his interview and he found out that he was approved. And he got approved, so he gave up everything to be with me. I gave up everything in New York to kind of start our lives together, and that's when we decided to move down to Florida. And here we are. We're married a year and a half.
And the rest
two
is history.
Weddings later. In a year and a half, this is my spiel, and Alex always laughs at me. I say we're married two times in 1 year, two different locations, two different countries, two different cultures, two different languages, and we're still not divorced and happily married.
That's nice. You guys are such a sweet couple too.
You guys really are the most adorable couple. I fell so much in love with the two of you because, you know, not to disparage anybody else that was on the show. I fell in love with the show, period. But sometimes when you're watching it, you can see that maybe the folks aren't going to work out, or, you know, that's just your sort of idea while you're watching it that they may not work out. But I really did think that you guys were going to. So, and I'm so glad that you have.
Yeah, we want to show people that they're, you know, like you said, like you see people and you feel like they're not in it for the right reason. And unfortunately, that's the stigma with a K-1 visa and the whole green card thing. So we want to show people that, you know, it really does work and it can work as long as you put 100% and 100% into it and you're in it for the right reason. So,
absolutely.
We're happy.
And that, I was going to say too, before I ask the question that I've written down here, that birthright thing sounds like a really awesome program. It's really cool.
It's amazing.
That's something that's available out there for you guys, and the fact that it's free, you know,
it's such an incredible program. Yeah, it's unbelievable what they've done, and you have to be between 18 and 26, and I think that everybody should take advantage of it and going. I mean, you know, here in America, if you haven't been to Israel, you see what we see on the news, and it's not necessarily what it is, and it's just unbelievable. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. The program itself, like you have such an appreciation for, you know, the Jewish religion and the culture and the traditions, and you learn a lot about yourself. And it's just it's a life-changing experience, no pun intended for me. But I was a participant years ago. I never had a desire to go. I never even knew about it. Three trips afterwards, and, you know, I got a husband out of it. So it worked for me.
And yeah, not too shabby there. So
yeah, I
got to
go halfway around the world to find it.
Well, sometimes it's what you got to do. I mean, you know, Beck and I, we lived on the other side of town from each other. We were in a suburb of Detroit, and I lived on the east side, and she lived on the west side. And we actually found ourselves online back in the late 90s and in the infancy of the whole online internet.
Yeah, back when it wasn't quite
right.
as terrifying as it is now.
Yeah.
Right.
And
that's what Alex
and
I say. We're glad that we found each other like this way, because you're right. Today, finding somebody online, like, it does work. It can work, but it's a lot scarier than it used to be.
There weren't as many creeps back then. So,
I didn't get catfished. You know. We didn't get catfished.
Exactly. So, how did you go about finding the show 90 Day Fiancé?
So I actually watched it from the very beginning, because at that time Alex and I had met, and, you know, it just kind of caught my attention. And my old roommate was like, Lauren, you know what? Kind of going through this or may go through it. So why don't you just write them an email? Because at the end of the episode, it says, if you or anybody who knows going through the K-1 visa, you know, we'd love to hear your story. And I did. And they wrote back, and I remember telling Alex that I was going to write to them, and he was like, yeah, sure, why not? And, you know, you like later on, they wanted to set up a Skype interview with us. And I was like, Alex, they want to set up a Skype interview. And he was like, oh, okay. And then I said, so we got this show and they kind of want to film us. And he was like, all right. And then he comes to me in Canada and there are cameras in his face. And at that time I had filmed like once or twice already. So I kind of knew what to expect. So he gets off like a 13-hour flight and there are cameras in his face. And he's like, this is not happening. Like, I'm seeing this crazy girl with cameras. And am I sure this is what I want?
he probably looked at it like, oh, this is America.
You know? Yeah, right. And he staffed a lot of birth right trips prior to me. So he knew, like, oh, God, another crazy girl. And I remember when I met him, I was like, I'm not like any other girl that you've ever met, and I always get what I want. And to this day, we laugh about it. And I say, that's it. I got you. I wanted you. I got you.
Do you feel like you had any extra pressure put on you or your relationship since that whole thing was being filmed?
Like 1,000%. But not only that, like, aside from filming, you know, our everyday life, like, how do you tell somebody, right, oh, I'm engaged to somebody who lives in Israel, or he says, I'm engaged to somebody who's in America. And, you know, people really didn't understand our relationship. So, you know, I think that was harder, being judged by people that you work with or that your family, friends that you're surrounded by, because they're like, really, is this really going to work? Like, how are you going to make it work? So the pressure, aside from filming, was really kind of showing everybody that's close to us that we really are in love and happy and will find a way to make it work.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, yeah. It's such a pressure cooker. Yeah. You know, I mean, and like you said, you know, you've got everybody already questioning you because he lives half a world away. Mm-hmm. And then to be under that microscope of having the cameras on you on top of that.
Absolutely.
You know, that's just seems overwhelming, you know? So
it
good
really
on
is.
You.
Yeah. Thanks. You know, I always tell people, will approach us now and they're like, oh, you're the girl and the guy from 90 Day Fiancé. But really they usually recognize me more when he's around because he's like ridiculously tall and clearly stands out in a crowd. And I always joke and I say, we're a lot nicer in person, like, we're really happy. And people, I think, they, and I laugh about it, but yeah, you're right. Like, the pressure of being under the microscope of being vulnerable and, you know, showing your life and your story. But at the same time, we signed up for it. Like, we're realistic people. We didn't know what we were getting ourselves into, but now, like, we do it. We want to show people, you know, our story and, like, our lives and, you know, the fact that life does happen, and whether it's portrayed the right way or not, people go through stuff just like we do. We just are out there and sharing it with others.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. You recently visited Israel, which looks like a beautiful place.
Yes.
We saw many of your photos. How are Alexi's friends and family doing?
You know what? They're great. Seriously, they're amazing. We just had a great time. It was a vacation, but it wasn't really a vacation. Like, it was seeing family and friends and just go, go, go. I need a vacation after this vacation. It was amazing. It was really great to see everybody after the wedding in Israel because this was the first time we had been back since that.
Okay.
I feel like I was more accepted, you know, by his friends. Not that I wasn't before, but for me, it was just kind of the confirmation I needed. Like, now that we're married in Israel, for them, that wedding was the wedding for his friend, for their friend. And time around, it was great. It was amazing. We barbecued and, you know, it was actually really cold though. So we didn't even go to the beach, but we got to spend like really good quality time with our friends and family. And I'm learning a little bit more Hebrew, you know,
cool,
a word here or there. So it was seriously amazing. And it was much needed for both of us.
Yeah, awesome. I remember watching the show and there being a little bit of conflict with his friends because they sort of felt like you kind of took him away from them. And that's awesome that you guys are, you know, bonding, you know, you're able to bond with his friends and, you know, obviously his family and, you know, just make it easier for everybody all the way around. I'm glad that having the wedding there worked out for you so well.
Yeah, thank you. It was important for both of us.
Okay, well, we've got to take a quick break. We are going to play out to Blake MacIver, Start to Believe, and we'll be right back.
Staring down that long and winding road, I felt like I could never start again. Flipping through the pages of my broken life, just remembering when, before I was yours, I just stumbled through my feeble lies. But now you bring me all I could ask for. You give me all that I need. And baby, you've gathered the pieces. Maybe I'll start to believe. Looking up that mountain top, I said, how do we begin to climb? Wishing I could speed right through to all the joy, just manipulate time. But now I am yours, so I'll stop wandering through those feeble lies, cause now you bring me all I could ask for. All that I need, and baby, you've gathered the pieces. Maybe I'll start to believe.
I guess I'll start to believe.
And though my doubts close in, I know that you'll there, I won't despair, my dream coming true. Who knew? Baby, it's you. And though I falter, I lose control, your soul pulls me through. Baby, it's you. You know just what to do. You bring me all I could ask for. You give me all that I need. And baby, you gather the pieces. I guess I'll start to believe.
Hey, welcome back to Voices for Change 2.0. I'm Joe. This is Rebecca next to me. And the lady we've got on the line is Miss Lauren Bravarnik from 90 Day Fiancé. How are you guys doing? And how are you, Lauren?
I'm doing well, thank you. Just enjoying this Saturday morning Shabbat.
Yeah, we're doing the same here. We're digging, talking to you, and hang on one second. I got to take care of something here. Abby, get down.
Sorry, we're our cats like to be on the show.
And
we have three of them that enjoy getting involved, so sometimes we have to tend to that, so please forgive us.
Yeah, sorry about that. Just I turn around and she's on top of her cat tower clawing at the curtain, and it's like, come on.
Really quickly, too, I wanted to mention to folks that if you have any questions for Lauren, you can give us a call at 347-989-0126. Or you can tweet us at our Twitter page at Voices, the number 4, Change, RJ, or use the hashtag VFChange. Lauren, I did want to mention to you that I did have one person reach out and contact me beforehand. Her name, I hope I'm not butchering her name. It was spelled a little bit differently, but I believe it was Taya.
Okay.
It's spelled T-A-I-A, and she wanted me to make sure to tell you that you are absolutely beautiful, and please don't worry about your Tourette syndrome.
Well, thank you very much, Ty. Again, you know, I hope I pronounced that as well. I hope I pronounced that correctly as well, but thank you very much. It's, you know, kind words like that that helped me get through it, because even though I talk about it publicly and I put a smile on my face in front of people, I still deal with it every day. So thank you very much.
I gotta interject this too really quick. Just for myself personally, I gotta say, and I've watched the show a lot with Rebecca, going back to when you were very first on it. I never noticed.
Yeah,
I never noticed any tics. I tried to do a good job at hiding it, and we're lucky. We have an amazing crew. And when we first started filming, I told them, excuse me, that I do have Tourette syndrome. So please let me know if I'm doing it too much, or, you know, if I know I'm doing it too much, that I'm going to walk away for a minute, because I wasn't ready to talk about it publicly. So I was very, very lucky. We were very, very lucky, and they were super supportive, and they made it a lot easier for me. But I couldn't hide it all the time, and I used the fact that I had allergies or whatever. But I tried my best to hide it, but I can't always do it. And now that I've accepted it, it's okay.
Well, it's, you know, it's very brave of you to come forward with it too. You know, we've got a friend of ours that she has twin sons, and they both have it. And, you know, so it, for us, it hit kind of close to home when you came forward, about it,
Thank you.
Because, you know, seeing what she goes through with her boys, and, you know, these, they're so sweet. They're the sweetest kids. And they're, I think, 12 or going on 12 or 13 now.
And they were actually asked not to go to school anymore, weren't they?
Yeah. They were ticking so bad and having their outbursts so badly that their mom has to homeschool them now. You know?
Wow.
And it's
that's heartbreaking. That is. That's horrible.
Yeah, you know, it's just so difficult. You know, and she's a single mom, you know, and, you know, shout out to Lori. And, you know, just like I said, the boys themselves are so sweet. You know, she'll post videos up of them, and they're, you know, doing whatever, interacting with their mom or, you know, drawing or whatever. And they're both so super talented, you know. And, you know, it hit close to home. Seeing you bring it out there too, you know.
Yeah.
So thank you for your courage.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much, because people who deal with it, they don't talk about it because it's embarrassing. And I say this all the time. I can't even imagine being a teenager in today's society dealing with it.
Mm-hmm.
I remember what it was like for me. And, you know, it's more common in boys than it is girls. So I can't even begin to imagine. And that's another reason why I wanted to come and talk about it publicly, because I want to you know, help people going through it, especially teenagers. That's when it's like at its peak, like your early tween age. So, wow, you know, yeah, kudos to Lori as a single mom dealing with both boys who have it. And it's just sad that, you know, our educational system doesn't understand it and she had to take him out of school. That's really heartbreaking.
Yeah. That is very sad.
Yeah.
So, like we were talking about, eventually you came forward on the show and talked about what you were dealing with. Could you tell us a little bit more about what that was like for you coming forward?
Coming forward publicly about it?
Right, exactly.
It was, it definitely took my time to see if I wanted to do it, because I knew once I said it, there was no turning back. And, you know, I pro-con everything. I'm a sorority girl. And when I was in a sorority, like, you pro-con everything to kind of figure out what's right and, you know, what's not. But that's just, I've used that in everything. And my pros really outweighed the cons. And I had the support of Alex and my family and, you know, the crew, and I had everybody behind me. It wasn't easy, and I was a nervous wreck. I was like a walking twitch. It was something else. But when I remember when I said it to the camera for the first time, I was just like, I have Tourette syndrome, and I started to cry, because if people watch the show, they know that's all I ever do is I cry for everything. I cry at a good card. Like, it's ridiculous. But I cried and I laughed and I smiled, and I was, I felt like the world, like the weight of the world has been lifted off of my shoulders. But at the same time, I felt like, oh my goodness, this is it. Like, there's no turning back. And I remember looking at the camera guy and my director, and they started to get emotional because they were so proud of me. And we cut, and they like came and gave me a big hug. And it was definitely a moment that I will never forget. And because I had the support of people behind me, that's what helped me get through it. It took me a really long time to accept it. It took many therapy sessions to accept it. And I realized that, you know what, I'm in a situation where I have the opportunity of a lifetime, and I want to take advantage of it and utilize it to the best of my ability. And I have all these resources at my fingertips to kind of help get the word about Tourette syndrome out there, because a lot of people do deal with it or know people that deal with it, and there's a horrible stigma around it. So, I did it, and, you know, I'm still doing it, and I couldn't be happier with my decision. I've also stopped looking at the negative social media comments, because I realized that that made it worse. And with all due respect to anybody who has anything bad to say about me, I don't care. Like, I like who I am. My husband likes who I am. My family, my friends like who I am. And that's the most important thing. I know who I am. And I know what's important, and that's it. And, you know, it's just crazy how I love when people take the time out of their day to message me privately and tell me that I'm making this up and the world would be a better place without me and my horrible lies of having Tourette syndrome. And I can't help but laugh at it, because it's like, really, like, you took time out of your day to tell me that. And it's like, it's
kind of ridiculous.
My mind. Like, if I'm going to make up something, I'm definitely going to make up something a lot better. But it's just, it's seriously crazy. Like, it's mind blowing how people tend to feel good about themselves by sitting behind a computer or a phone and think that they're somebody. And what I have to say to that is, if you think you're so powerful behind a computer screen or behind your phone, like, get out there in the real world and say it publicly, say it live, say it to somebody's face and see if you can do it. It's so crazy.
You know, I get that 100%. I, you know, I wrote a book about my struggles with bipolar disorder, and I actually had people come back and say that because of the way that I wrote the book, that they didn't really believe that I was bipolar because I wasn't experiencing it the same way that they were. So I completely understand that. And, you know, when you put yourself out there like that, unfortunately, you're
going to get the trolls, you know, and you know, it's people that don't have anything better to do with their lives. They're miserable in their own life. And, you know, they don't realize that we're all just trying to make our way in the universe, you know, mm-hmm. And I don't get the people that can't just live and let live, you know?
Oh, right. I'm with you on that. And crazy because when Alex and I are in public, knock on wood, no one has said anything negative to us, to our face. Like, we always hear, oh, you're our favorite couple, you're the best. And, you know, they can go mm-hmm. leave us and say something bad about us. But to our face, people have been extremely supportive and really kind. And I've had people come up to me and say, you're a girl with Tourette's, right? And I'm, yeah, I am. And some people mm-hmm. have kind of like snickered at it, but then there's always somebody who's like, wow, thank you. Or I think what you're doing is an amazing thing. So, you know, you can't please everybody. And I'm not here to please everybody. I'm here to encourage others that deal with it to accept it and know that it's okay and know that you're not alone. And it makes you who you are and it's fine. And unfortunately, there's always somebody out there who has it worse, but just embrace it and know that it's part of you. And, you know, it can only make it longer once you accept it.
And, you know, I do have to apologize to you because I didn't do – before I put out the poster and the advertisement and everything, I didn't check into the correct phrasing for Tourette's. I did not realize, and Joe and I were talking about this, I think it's because the two words run together, but we didn't realize that it's Tourette syndrome. Tourette's.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've always said Tourette's syndrome. You know,
I
it just seems logical.
It's totally fine. I mean, it is Tourette syndrome or just Tourette, mm-hmm. but I say Tourette's because that's what, you know, people No, and
that's
what they
say. Hey, yeah,
exactly.
And, you know, when you say Tourette syndrome, how do you actually hear the apostrophe S in there? I don't, you know,
right.
It kind of just runs together. So
exactly,
you know,
it's fluid.
But yeah, it's, you know, it's awesome that you recognize that you're in this position now where you can get the word out on it. It's a sense of responsibility, and it's really cool that you've embraced that. You know, that's something that Beck recognized when she first started putting herself out there with her book, you know, because she had people coming up to her, hey, thank you for putting your story out there and all this stuff. And, you know, I think the more that we make people aware of what's going on out there, be it Tourette syndrome or bipolar disorder or borderline personality disorder or anxiety or any number of things, the more it's discussed, the more we break down the stigma surrounding all of these illnesses, and the more people are comfortable talking about it, and the more we can live and let live. You know, and that's just, I'm very big on that. You know, just, you know, you're trying to live your life, we're trying to live our lives. Ultimately, everybody wants to just be happy. And it's hard in this world, you know. So if we can do that and get to where everybody's on the same page on things, and I'm rambling.
No, it's true. It's totally true. And, you know, I'm going to backtrack a little bit because you said that by me opening up about it, I kind of have to take responsibility for it. And, you know, I am putting a face to Tourette syndrome. People now know when they see me that they associate me with Tourette syndrome. And it's hard because, as I mentioned, you know, I go in public and I have to be strong and put a smile on my face, even when I am ticking, but I do deal with it every day. And every night I do my ticks. Every day I do my ticks. I have my rituals. And, you know, people do want to be happy, and it's a shame that it makes somebody happy by putting down somebody else. And I do have to take responsibility, because I do get put down quite a bit. And I just have to be strong and take the responsibility and own up to it and, you know that I decided to do this. And I'm so thankful that I have people standing by me to help me get through it, because I'm a human being. Like I have a breaking point. I have my breakdowns, my emotional outbursts, and it's not my life isn't, you know, rainbows and butterflies. Like I'm a real person. I have real life struggles, and you know, with Tourette's, there's things associated with it, like stress and anxiety and sleep disorders. Mm-hmm. And I hate when people say, "Oh, stress isn't a real thing," or "anxiety is not a real thing." And it just, like, it makes me, it just, I don't know, it makes me speechless, and takes a lot to make me speechless, because it is a real thing, and people, a lot of people really do deal with it, and it affects a lot more than people think.
Yeah, you know, take a walk in my shoes if you don't believe that those things are real. You know, just spend a little bit of time in my life, and you'll understand.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know.
It's true.
Definitely real.
You know, it's
people,
funny.
Oh, I'm sorry. Before I lose my train of thought, that you know, people, when they see somebody with a physical disorder, they sympathize, and because you can see it, like, you understand it. And, you know, the brain is the most powerful thing in the body. But I say to that, you know, if you have a physical disability or physical disorder, like, you can mentally tell yourself, like, I'm strong, I'm this. But how do you get through it when your brain is the thing being affected? Not
exactly
as easy as people think.
Yeah, people don't realize that, you know, the brain's an organ just like the heart or the liver or anything else. And, you know, if you can have issues with those organs, absolutely you're going to have issues with the brain. And, mm-hmm. you know, people don't understand that. And, you know, you get, you know, comments like, you know, well, just snap out of it. Think happy thoughts. Blah, blah, blah. Get over
Think
it.
Think positive.
It's like, well, no, it doesn't work that way.
Like, I can't right now. Like, I literally can't right now. And I'm, you know, the mind is not working as I'd like it to. So, like, I can appreciate that.
Yeah. You know, I mean, we've been under a lot of stress lately. And one thing that happens to me all the time when I'm super stressed out is my right eye will start twitching. And I can't control it. You know, just it twitches incessantly. And, you know, Beck and I went out Thursday night and it was twitching really bad. And we were driving to where we were going, and I actually looked at her and said, "Can you see my eye twitching right now?" And she looked at me, mm-hmm. and she's like, yeah, I can. I'm like, I have no control over that.
That's just a, you know, mild type of thing in comparison to what you're dealing with. But, you know, it's still, you know, don't really know where it's coming from or when to expect it. And,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah, no, I get it.
We've got to take another quick break. Before we head out, I wanted to remind folks that we do have a chat room. If you go to the Blog Talk left of straight page, there is a chat room underneath the scrolling photos of our lovely Lauren and ourselves. So please don't hesitate to join in. Our producer Scott will let us know if you're there. And we're going to play out to Brandon and James, Wicked Game.
Nunca desvié este sueño y apagué.
Welcome back to Voices for Change 2.0. We hope you guys are having a great day. I'm Rebecca, and I'm here with my husband, Joe.
How's she going, eh?
And we are not Canadian. And we are speaking to a lovely lady named Lauren Brovarnik from the last season of 90 Day Fiancé.
Yay!
Hi!
Hi!
So, Lauren, when you came forward with the news about your Tourette syndrome, were you at all concerned about how, you know, people around you would react, friends and family and whatnot?
Yeah, that's that was actually my biggest concern, because if you tell a stranger something, like, I think that it's a lot easier to speak to strangers than people who know you and that you're, like, close with, because those people that you're close with, I don't want to use the word judge, but, yeah, they're, like, it's easier for them to judge or look at you differently or, like, maybe want to naturally just kind of treat you differently, and I didn't want that. And up until I announced it, I could count on, like, my fingers and toes how many people really knew. So I was definitely nervous, and you know, some people were like, I didn't know you had it. And especially like I'm very close with very few people from high school. High school wasn't the best time for me, but those people like, I didn't know you had it, because in high school I got really sick. And because I got so sick, I was ticking so much, and I lost a ton of weight, and rumors started escalating, and that I was on drugs or this, and to the point where, like, my principal had to get in touch with me and my parents, and they were like, wait, what? Like, it's just, it's crazy. So, like, how people just, like, misinterpret things, or they're just so naive or don't want to know, and they just assume, and, you know, it really affected me. So the people that I'm close with now, they're like, it makes so much sense. Like, I get it now. Now I understand. And I told them, like, remember in high school I got sick and all these rumors? And they're like, yes, now I understand. And I was like, yeah, I wasn't on drugs. I was just, you know, ticking really bad. So it definitely, it made an impact in my close friends and my family. Not like my parents or my sister or anything, but like my cousins and people that I'm close with that didn't know. They're like, whoa, I had no idea. Because for years I would say allergies or I would walk away or.
Right.
Mm. But they've accepted it.
It's good. When we were on our break, we briefly talked about this, so I thought I'd bring it up now. How has being affected with Tourette's syndrome? Jeez, I can't talk. Sorry. how did that affect you in the workplace? If you could talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. That's actually, I'm glad that we're talking about it because there are quite a few adults that have it. And I remember, it's not something that I openly spoke about. So I worked in New York City. I was an executive assistant for many years for presidents of a really big media agency. And I was like the face of them. I was scheduling meetings and I was greeting people at the door and I was sitting in meetings. So I was representing them. And I remember... Mm-hmm. As an adult, you're more aware of things and you're more alert. And so it was my second day on the job and I got in the elevator. I had my headphones in, but I didn't have music playing. And there were a group of girls in the elevator and somebody said, "That's the new girl who makes the weird noises." And it crushed me because I didn't even know what to think. I was so mortified. I was so embarrassed. I got so depressed so quickly. And the next day I went to work and I went to one of my bosses and I said, "You know what? Like, I can't work here. This place is not for me." And he was like, "Wait, whoa, 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 slow down. What's going on?" And I said to him, I said, "Listen, if we're going to work together," by the way, I was the 33rd person he interviewed. I cursed in my interview and he hired me. So, you know,
wow.
Shout out to Steve. said, "Listen, if we're going to work together, you need to know something about me. I do have Tourette syndrome, and there are times where I'm going to have to excuse myself. I may make some noises or squeak or squeal or like twitch my face or, you know, do some facial or like neck movements." And he said, "Really?" I was like, "Yeah." He's like, "That's why you're leaving?" And I was like, "No, this is what happened." And I think it really upset him because I don't want to say that that's like bullying in the workplace because they didn't know, but it really hurt him because I was his new assistant and representing him. And, he supported me and so did my other boss, Audrey, supported me from the very beginning. So they understood if I needed to walk away or if I just needed a minute, they got it and they never questioned me on it. They never laughed at me. They never looked at me differently. And, you know, it's hard when you're working and it's quiet in the office or then you have periods where it's overwhelming in the office. You start to tick because you get anxious and you really have to suppress your ticks as an adult, because even as adults, people are way critical and, you know, criticize everything and super judgmental. So, it was not easy, but I was very, very lucky to have amazing bosses and people that supported me.
Did they do any type of sensitivity training or anything for the folks that were there, or was
known? They didn't. And I didn't want it to be known. If I felt comfortable. I think I told like two people that I worked with that I had it because I sat near them and I wanted them to know if I'm clearing my throat too much, this is why. If I'm sniffling too much, this is why. Like I wanted to be respectful of their working environment too, because it's not always quiet. And they were like, "Listen, that's totally fine. Like I don't even hear it. Like I don't even pay attention to it." But because I'm the one that has it, I'm more aware of it, so I'm the biggest critic, you know. I think that everybody's watching and hearing it, so I was very, very lucky, and I know that there are people out there that do have it in the workplace, and it's not looked at so well from their coworkers or supervisors, and it really, it just breaks my heart. It really does.
Yeah. It's, I imagine it's got to be, you know, difficult and scary coming forward and talking about that in the workplace, but, you know, kudos to you.
Yeah,
you don't want it to affect your job. So, and I was very lucky that it didn't. And to anybody who does have it that works, I just, the best advice I can give is to just, you know, when you're ready, be open about it, especially with your supervisors. Let them know. That way they can understand it. If you're like walking out to, you know, take care of your rituals or tick, or if you're like not at your desk all the time, or if you're in a meeting and, you know, ticking, like let them know. And if they can't accept it, then that is not the place that that person needs to be working at.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You need to have support.
Yeah. Since you told your story, you've become an advocate and a role model for others. Did you ever expect that that would be the case?
Never in a million years. I knew my thought was, if I can help like one person, then I've done the right thing. I honestly thought that more people were going to make fun of me for it than come to me and thank me. And I remember the day the episode aired, the next morning, I woke up to 350 messages, both on like Instagram and Facebook. Like people, it was crazy. I use that word all the time. It was insane.
wow.
It was really overwhelming and definitely something I never, ever expected. And I know to this day, I'm even getting messages because the show is airing overseas now in different countries, and people are still reaching out to me saying, thank you so much. Like my brother has it, my sister has it, my children have it, I have it. Or people have said, for years, I never knew what was wrong with me. I went to a doctor, I got checked out, like because of you. And I'm a regular person. Like people have said I'm an inspiration and I'm like, no, I'm not. Like, thank you. That's really, really kind of you. I'm an everyday person that happens to deal with it and had an opportunity to talk about it, to bring awareness to it. So I took advantage of it. So it definitely, I definitely helped more than one person. And it definitely validated that I did the right thing. It confirmed that me going public about it was the right thing. And I can only hope to continue to do more of it because it's so important, especially with bullying these days. Oh, wow. It definitely met my expectations.
Doing things like this show is definitely going to, you know, forward your message. You know, I can't say enough about this platform because it's helped me forward my message a great deal. So I definitely think that, you know, I've seen some of the things that you've done with, you know, speaking and being at events for the charity that you have done some events for.
The Tourette Association of America.
Right.
Okay.
That's right.
So I'm working close with them because why not? You know, it's out there.
Yeah.
Why not?
Absolutely.
You know, people know now. So I want people to see that it's okay and you're not alone. And, you have your good days and your bad days, but it's part of you and it's okay.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah.
Just really quickly, I did want to ask you how your family is coping with the extra attention from the show and everything since.
They don't look at social media or anything. And, you know, I don't know if I honestly, like, it's not something we talk about in terms of, like, if people have approached them or asked them. Because, yeah, like, they work. They have coworkers. They have friends that, you know, watch the show. So I don't know if people have approached them. But they're my parents. They've known since the very beginning. Like, and I think that the fact that I'm confident with who I am now definitely shows. And I think it makes them feel better, because for a very long time, I didn't understand it. I didn't accept it. And it stressed me out and it really affected me. So now that I can confidently say I have Tourette's syndrome, and like, you know, I deal with anxiety, whatever. If they see that I'm doing good, then they're really happy for me. And I also don't think that they thought that it was going to have such an outreach to people.
Yeah, for sure.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Didn't know what to expect. You know? My dad always says, better to say I'll never do it again than I wish I did. So that's what I thought.
Very wise.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very wise words. Well, unfortunately, our time has come to a close with Lauren. We have really, really enjoyed talking to you today, and we will definitely be blasting this interview out all over social media so that people can get your message. And we're just really grateful for you coming on the show today.
Yeah, thank you for taking the time to be with us and getting the message out.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
It was absolutely our pleasure, you know.
Well, if you could just stay on the line for just a moment, we will be playing out with David Hernandez, Beautiful.
Father in the sky, and they start into a line. I see you passing by, and we're slowing down the tide. Now my love is flashing by, all I see is flashing lights. Cause you're right here by my side, can you feel it come alive? If this were a love song, would you be mine? Cause I just can't get you off of my mind. And I think about you all day and night. So I wrote you a love song, wrote you a love song. Baby, you're beautiful, I think you're beautiful.
Join us next week as Rebecca and Joe continue to battle the stigma of mental illness. Follow us on Twitter at Voices for Change RJ and on Facebook at Voices for Change 2.0.